Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Esports Podcast. I'm Hunter.
And I'm Luther. And we're back
with the Esports Smackdown.
Now today, we'd like to move our discussion topics, you know, still, you know, in the realm of esports, but more towards the money, the people, the real brains behind
this the player.
This growing industry. Now, a lot of people believe that esports is really the next big thing. And, you know, investors have spent a lot of their money in Bitcoin or even investing in the cannabis industry in legal states. And now a lot of these people who have the money to invest are moving their eyes towards esports. Now, there are big names also. The rapper Drake owns his own esports team. He co-owns an esports team with another man.
He loves Fortnite.
Drake loves himself some Fortnite. Drake isn't the only one investing in esports, though. Companies such as HTC were some of the first to put their hand in the pot. Their investors, Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, have both discussed in interviews investing in esports, and people like Mark Cuban have already begun setting up the infrastructure to begin their own team.
On the topic of sponsors, I conducted an interview with a very experienced FGC Tekken player and contributor to the Tekken community.
What benefits do sponsors really give esport athletes?
Yeah, it's important. What are sponsors even? Yeah, it's the reason why they're able to. It depends. Again, in the more lucrative games like League of Legends and Counter-Strike, they straight up give them a salary. They'll straight up give a working salary for the players, and they'll have them they'll provide a accommodation for to live in while they train together, and they'll provide flight and living expenses at the venues. In fighting games, it's more like they'll help you. I know for Fergus specifically, he gets his accommodation paid for, and he gets his living costs paid for at the venue, but he has to pay for the flight out there himself. There are all sorts of sponsors. There's another distinction to make here between teams and sponsors, because usually when people say the word sponsor, they're referring to teams, but the teams get their money from other companies that you could call sponsors.
Now, on the topic of sponsors, many companies are using their money to support these teams and hopefully in return make a profit. Even now, it's valid that these companies have this belief, as according to Statista, esports viewership is expected to rise above every single American sport except the NFL by 2021. Now, I think it's pretty crazy based on the popularity of the NFL.
According to Statista, again, here are some more statistics. It has been reported that the esports economy will grow to $696 million. Wow. During 2018, that's a year-on-year growth of over 41%. Beyond that, brand investment is expected to double by 2020, creating a total market value market valued at $1.5 billion. That's absolutely crazy.
And I think it's even film companies are moving into the esports business, and really one of the prime examples is coming straight from Team Dignitas themselves. They were acquired by FC Copenhagen and a Danish entertainment company known as Nordisk Film. Now, Team Dignitas is a big name esport in the League of Legends and Counter-Strike team scenes, and it's definitely a big step in the right direction of growing the market.
Yeah, it is some real crazy stuff, real crazy business. Like, Hollywood is becoming Gamingwood. Some crazy stuff going down. Now, on to our next topic, our topic 6. This is crazy. Esports as a career. Now, I feel like this should be a very, very prominent part of this podcast, because without the player, there is no esport, you know? And esport as a career is actually more valid than most people would think. There are players like Faker, small-time players, fighting game competitors, and more. Going back to Faker, Faker is an absolutely successful Korean League of Legends player who's practically a celebrity in Korea, and everybody knows him. Even like, he's more of a celebrity than BTS. It's even on that level. You can have a career as a broadcaster. Like, in order to have a career in esports, you don't have to be a player. Everything's open in this world. Many communications and media majors today could possibly end up working in the esports industry at announcers, technicians, and more. Man, esports is providing the economy with a boom-bastic improvement.
And the nice thing is that with the expansion of a new market, new businesses came out. And Studio Invate, coming straight from their website, Studio Invate is a production company based in Bangkok that produces live stream broadcasts for 15 major esports tournaments every year, each with up to 40 players competing and 50,000 spectators viewing. And this company is one that was born out of esports that are solely their business is solely focused around the live stream of video games. And, you know, when new businesses open like that, it opens new job opportunities, and a lot of people could begin finding careers for the entirety of their life in esports, you know, televising or taking place in some aspect of the game.
Yeah, just esports in general, man, it's a big deal. Like, people, are, especially schools, are starting to take it into consideration as an actual career, even giving out scholarships. Like, according to Chicago Tribune, there are two levels of scholarships. The varsity level scholarship covers 70% of a student's tuition. That's a lot. Roughly $25,000. Said Kurt Melcher, associate athletic director at Robert Morris. The varsity reserve level scholarship covers 35% of tuition, or roughly $10,000. That's absolutely crazy, especially because just being in front of your computer and playing games, what most parents would think is a waste of time, can actually help those same kids pay for their college, which is amazing.
Thank you for tuning in to the Esports Smackdown podcast. I'm Luther.
And I'm Hunter.
And please, again, check out our website, www.esportssmackdown.weebly.com.